Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for your word and your spirit. It comes to us through the readings of your scriptures, through the sounds of voices and instruments lifted up in glorious melody and harmony. And we pray, O Lord, that we might be touched through your spirit and understand your will and truth for our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Each year, for Music Sunday, with the help of the worship committee, I try to pick a theme for the worship or for during the sermon time. In the past, we've done spirituals several times. We've done camp songs. Remember that year I tried to have a picture of a campfire on a thing, but I couldn't get the thing to work right, so it would just keep going. It kept shutting off. So we've even done several Music Sundays where we ask you to contribute to music ahead of time and share why that particular first song was a favorite of yours. And this year, a theme that popped into my mind was songs of the 1960s. Now, I know I'm dating myself a little with this, but I also know that a number of us were growing up in the 60s. But I pretty quickly realized the reason I thought about this theme is that I see some of the same feelings and trials of the 60s raising their heads again in our present time. So, in a sense, this is a way for me to kind of suggest or to lead us all into reclaiming some of that music that was produced then to help us today. I must say that most of the music we're hearing today would generally not be considered religious music. However, I do believe that the words are consistent with our Christian understanding. Yeah. Given the time's constraints, I will not be able to say much about each piece. Now, 1969, the Canadian pop group Coven sang the song One Tin Soldier. It was at the height of the Vietnam War, and was often thought to be an anti-war song. It was also heard by a number of people as a protest against the hypocrisy in the church that they saw, with words in the chorus about hating neighbors and cheating friends and doing bad things in the name of heaven. Deep down, though, it's a song about the corruption of riches, and how that leads people to hurt neighbors in other countries. It reminds us that wars are started often just to gain something that we feel we need or we deserve. Jesus said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." And I think there's a little bit of that in this song. Now, I forgot to also mention that these songs, the ones that I've recorded, are recorded by the artist who originally made them famous. And you can follow along. And if you want to sing, the words are in your book, your program. If you want to sing along, please do.
Long ago, of the kingdom on the mountain and the valley.
Let there be peace on earth. Now, this was not written in the 60s, but I think it probably became very popular in the 1960s. It was written in 1955 by Cy Miller and his wife Jill Jackson. The song was introduced at a California retreat of a group of young people who were from a wide variety of religious, ethnic, and socioeconomic backgrounds. They had come together for a week-long experience devoted to developing friendship and understanding through education, discussion, and working together. The song's focus on peace and God made it easy to cross many boundaries. Cy Miller wrote about the effect of the song. One evening in 1955, a group of 180 teenagers of all races and religions, meeting at a workshop high in the California mountains, locked arms, formed a circle and sang a song of peace. They felt that singing the song with its simple, basic sentiment, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me," helped to create a climate for world peace and understanding. And of course, I think it was Coca-Cola that really brought this song to our attention as it was used in a number of their commercials. And it became a very popular song played at Christmas time. So let us sing, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." The words are in the movie. Took on an added dimension in the protests of the war. In 1962, the war was not yet in full swing, but Jim Crow was in the South. People were treated on their black and white televisions to cops unleashing dogs and water cannons on protests by black people. The Selma March was still 3 years away, but the effects of Jim Crow were exacting a toll. While they had been declining, blacks were still being lynched in the South. And so Bob Dylan wrote the song, "Blowin' in the Wind." It quickly became the anthem of the civil rights movement. And what's interesting about this song is he doesn't give the answers. They're blowing in the wind. But as an NPR article by Brian Naylor, written in 2000, states, Dylan asks the hard questions. How many roads must a man, a woman walk before we call them a man or a woman?
Yeah.
of course, the other anthem of the 1960s civil rights movement was the old hymn, "We Shall Overcome." How often we saw blacks in worship or in protest march on the street, walking hand in hand or arm in arm, singing, "We Shall Overcome." And so, as we stand and sing this song, let us join hands. Turmoil of the 1960s. People were afraid, they were anxious, uneasy. Many of us will remember how nightly we were bombed with the number of U.S. soldiers killed in Vietnam. Pictures of riots in the streets by anti-war protesters and civil rights protesters. It was such an uneasy time. And it was into this national angst that in 1970, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel recorded one of their hit songs, I believe it was their second one, "Bridge Over Troubled Water." The song is not explicit about who the bridge is that's over the troubled water. But as Christians, we can surely read into it that Christ is. And it's interesting to note that in the past 2 weeks, famous vocalists have joined together from all over the world to sing this song to raise money for those who suffered and died in the Grenfell apartment fire in London, as well as London experiencing several terrorist attacks in the weeks around it. Thank you. 1960s, religious music found new expressions, even by writers and composers who didn't always believe in the Bible. Pete Seeger, who wrote the music for Turn, 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 shares the following. I don't read the Bible that often. I leaf through it occasionally, and I'm amazed by the foolishness at times and the wisdom at other times. I call it the greatest book of folklore ever given, not that there isn't a lot of wisdom in it. You can trace the history of people poetically. Seeger added, I got a letter from my publisher, and he says, Pete, I can't sell these protest songs you write. And I was angry, and I sat down with a tape recorder and said, I can't write the songs you want, or the kind of songs you want. You got to go talk to somebody else. This is the only song, kind of song I know how to write. And he pulled out this little slip of paper and improvised a melody to it in 15 minutes. And I sent it to him, and I got a letter from him the next week that said, wonderful, just what we're looking for. And within 2 months, he'd sold it to the Limelighters and then to the Byrds. And the song ends with a declaration of hope that peace is possible and that it's not too late. course, the words for that come from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The 1960s also saw the beginning of another new trend in church music, that of praise music. The evangelical churches were looking for a style of music that would reach out to the young people at the time. This was music that could be played by rock bands and praise bands with drums and guitars. And the words were simple, the melodies were always simple. It was music that people could not only sing, but feel as well. And praise music took off. And eventually, some of it made its way into the mainline Protestant churches. Our next one that we will sing is Father, I Adore You, on number 2038 in the little paperback hymnal. Sang right before the sermon would also fall into that same genre, as well as the next one. Pass It On. It was written in 1969 by Kurt Kaiser. He tells the story of how it came to be. In 1969, Ralph Carmichael and I collaborated on a musical, Tell It Like It Is. It is written to get young people involved in the church. And after reviewing what we had written, we decided there needed to be a closer, a modern Just As I Am, a hymn by Charlotte Elliott, written in 1835, which most of you know, and a favorite of evangelicals for altar calls. Kaiser says, on a Saturday night, I was sitting in our den by the fireplace where there were remnants of a fire. And it occurred to me that it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And the rest came very quickly. My wife suggested I should say something about shouting it from the mountaintops, and that ended up in the third verse. It only took 20 minutes to write the lyrics. Afterwards, my wife and I went for a walk, letting this song ruminate in our minds. This song became popular among church youth groups and at summer church camps. In an age where the youth had sang and spoke a lot about love, this song talks a lot about touching people in positive ways. Thank you. the 1960s were definitely a time of great upheaval in the world and in our nation. It was a time, though, of great visions as well, of visions for what the future could be like. There was a vision of the world without war, a vision of a world where youth tried to share respect for all people, no matter the color of their skin. Jesus often asked the people to catch a vision of the kingdom of God when he used phrases like, the kingdom is like a mustard seed, the yeast mixed with dough, treasure hidden in a field, a merchant in search of fine pearls. He used parables to get people to catch the vision of the kingdom of God here on earth. John Lennon, and now we know Yoko Ono, wrote a song in 1971 entitled Imagine. Some observers have described the song as having a distinctly anti-religious viewpoint, to the point that some have embraced it as an atheist anthem. Lennon himself, however, stated about the song, "If you can imagine a world at peace, with no denomination of religion, not without religion, but without this my God is bigger than your God thing, then it can be true." The vision of Christ is a vision Christ calls us to imagine. In many ways, much of the music of the 1960s called us to imagine a vision of the kingdom. Say we need more people to to imagine. Amen.